All right. This is KK4JZX. It's 8:02. Well, 7:02 p.m. Central Time and 8:02 p.m. Eastern. And we are beginning the Henny Ham Radio Club TechNet, folks. And it is February 28th, 2013, Thursday. We're always here at 1900 hours Central Time U.S. or U.S. Central Time. And for those of you who joined us last week, you know that it was a great TechNet, and hopefully tonight it'll be a great one too. Before I begin here, I'd like to take any emergency or priority traffic. Let me take emergency or priority traffic. Go ahead. All right. If there should be emergency or priority traffic, please feel free to jump in with a break, double break, or priority or emergency, and we'll handle the traffic as it as appropriate. Are there any announcements for the net tonight, folks? Does anybody have any announcements for tonight? Go ahead.
I do have an announcement, Jose, K0PQW.
Go ahead, Matt, with your announcement, K0PQW. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought I'd mention for those with HF, the ARRL International Phone DX Contest is this weekend, March 2nd and 3rd. So how it works is that it starts, that's UTC time. So that will start at 6 p.m. Tomorrow night, Central Time, Friday night that is, and then go till Sunday night at 6 p.m. basically, or 2359 UTC there. And U.S. stations, U.S. and Canada stations send their state or province signal report in state and province, and DX stations outside of North America, including Alaska and Hawaii, send their power level, or the signal level and power, or signal strength and power level, I'm trying to say. It's a fun contest. It's a good way to work a lot of DX contacts on HF. 1-10. Except for the work bands, you know, obviously not on 30 meters, not on 60 meters, not on 17 or 12, but all the other bands. So I know I'll be on at least poking around a little bit, making contacts. ARRL International DX Phone Contest this weekend. KK4JZX and the TechNet, KA0PQW.
Okay, Matt, and thank you very much for that announcement. Folks, the ARRL contest this weekend, and feel free to jump in later on. Matt, if you've got a question, or I know some people have been looking for you in the last couple of weeks, asking questions, some technical questions, so hopefully you can stick around and talk a little bit about that. We had a big question last week about a plasma TV, that was quite a discussion on that. And, okay, so folks, we're going to start taking check-ins right now. The only rule we have here is that this is a directed net. This is KK4JZX, Jose, in Miami, Florida. And any questions or comments, direct them through me. We also like to go direct. And if you've got an answer for somebody, of course, we're going to do that and go direct. And if you've got a question or comment tonight, a suggestion, a tip, anything having to do with technology, it's wide open, folks. We're taking the questions, we're taking the comments, we're taking the tips. Anything that you can think of, bring it up on the TechNet, and we'll try to answer it for you. I know there's somebody here that's always has an answer, we sometimes have what we call a cliffhanger, where we don't get the answer, but we sometimes get it the following week, or we can follow up via email. So at this time, I'd like to start taking check-ins. Go ahead.
Kilo Delta Zero, Papa Tango Mike.
Andy Zero, UCO, short time.
Hey, Oscar Papa Lima, Joe in Indiana.
Okay, the last station, Joe, I think it was. Was it KA9OPL? I'm not sure I got that one because my computer broke up there. Your speech broke up. So go ahead and come back with your call sign, and we'll start taking check-ins now. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Joe, KA9OPL in Columbus, Indiana. Oscar Papa Lima.
Oh, yeah, I remember the call sign from last week, K9OPL. Great, Joe. Great to have you here. Folks, are there any other calls that would like to check in at this time? We've got three stations. I'll come back and call the rest, but are there any further calls right now? Go ahead.
Victor Alpha 3 Delta Golf Delta Echo Link Scarborough, Ontario, Canada.
Whiskey 7 Alpha Lima X-ray. Good evening, Jose on the net.
Okay, good. We've got five stations, but I want to confirm one that came in right before Mike, W7ALX. And that was that station Victor Alpha 3 Delta Golf Delta. If you'll come back and confirm that call sign and your name, we'll go ahead and begin from the top here. Go ahead.
It's a QSL net control. QSL net control is Victor Alpha 3 Delta Golf Delta Echolink Wi-Fi connection, Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. QSL?
VA3, DGD, Roger, copy. And, okay, great. Thank you very much. I'm going to take it from the top here. I got KD0PTM. Good evening. Welcome to the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Go ahead with your question or comment for tonight. Thank you very much for checking in. It's your turn. KK4JZX here.
Good evening, Jose and gentlemen out there. KD0PTM. This is Joe over here in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And we don't have a question tonight, but we wanted to check in here and give you one for the count and kind of hang out. Maybe, you never know, I might be able to help somebody out there. But at least I had to get in here and say good morning. And how are things going with you, Jose?
Hey, Joe, everything's going great. Thanks a lot for checking in. KD0PTM, KK4JZX, and the TechNet. And, yeah, everything's going great. We've missed you here. Haven't seen you here in a couple of weeks. Thanks for coming back and joining us. The weather's getting low here. You know, it's going down a little bit. I think we're at about 61 degrees tonight. But it's fun, and we're having a great time with this weather. And, Joe, stick around, and if you've got a question or another comment, feel free to check in again. But go ahead with your with any final comments you may have right now, and we'll move on to Linton. Go ahead, Joe.
QSL there, Jose. No, I haven't got anything right now, but like I say, you know, I've missed you the last couple of weeks. I've been tied up doing other stuff, and it's a little colder up here, you know, than it is out there, so when you get a decent day, you kind of go outside and do what you got to do, but that's the way life is in the cold country. But I'm going to hang in there, Jose, for a little bit here and see if there's a question out there that I can help with. But anyway, thanks much, and good evening for everybody. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Papa Tango Mike, turning it back to Nat, Jose.
Okay, Joe, KD0PTM, thanks for checking in. I'm going to take the next call here. That is KB0UCO. And I know that that's Linton. And Linton, your radio, you're sounding a lot better today. And go ahead with your comments or questions for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet tonight. It's your turn.
Jose, good evening. And just one for the count. And I don't know what I've done, but unless Matt is kind of fixing it over there for everybody. But I just want to check in one for count, and now I'll kind of be listening off and on if I don't fall asleep. I just got done eating supper, and every time I get done eating supper or dinner, I fall asleep. So back to you, KB0UCO.
All right, Linton, KB0UZO. I know exactly what you're talking about, you know, supper and falling asleep. but yeah, you're one of those that always checks in. I really appreciate that. We appreciate that you're listening to us every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central. It's really appreciated, and thanks for being part of the net every single time we do this net. So that's always appreciated. Again, I can't say that enough. And I'm going to move on to Joe, KA9OPL. How's it going tonight, Joe? And what do you have for us tonight? You checked in last week, and you had some comments. Go ahead with your question, comment, or suggestion for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX.
Well, good evening, Jose. Hopefully this is working okay. I've changed changed the microphone setup a little bit tonight. I'm using a little sort of a speakerphone, USB speakerphone tonight, just to play with it a little bit. And not a whole lot. Congratulations on getting out the next release of the remote-based software. I downloaded that the other night and haven't had much time to work with it, but I did turn it on and connect just to make sure that it was working. So that was good. Going back to last week, I was listening. I had to leave about two-thirds of the way through the net, but I heard a question that Joe N3AIN had, and he was talking about when you use the arrow keys to change frequency on the remote base, that the screen reader will speak. Now, I use Window Eyes. I don't use JAWS, but Window Eyes does the same thing. I don't know if JAWS has the same capability. I think it does, but in Window Eyes, what you can do is you can actually, for that particular application, you can tell it not to speak after you press the arrow keys. So you can still leave your speech on, but basically just don't let it speak the line after you press the arrow keys. And that will clean that up, and it may not hurt you. It might if you really need them, but the up and down arrow keys you might not need as much. Anyway, and still standing by here if I can, as long as I can tonight. And if anybody has any information still on digital mode software, I'd still be interested in that. Anything else I can help with, I'll stand by. KA9OPL, back to you.
Okay, Joe, KA9OPL, thank you very much. Yeah, I believe that JAWS has that type of a setup. It would have to. You would have to go in. He would have to go into the settings and make that change. I know it does because I'm a private beta tester for JAWS, and there is a way to get it done. But thanks a lot for letting me know about the remote base client that you had that experience with it. We're working. I've been coding quite a bit with it, and we're going to be making it a lot better in the next couple of versions. So. Be on the lookout for some good stuff coming up. Thanks for checking in tonight. And I'm going to move on to VA3, Delta, Golf, Delta. Go ahead, it's your turn on the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX.
Good evening, Jose, and to everyone on the net. This is Victor Alpha 3, Delta, Golf, Delta, Scarborough, Ontario, Canada, part of Toronto. Scarborough, Ontario, we are connected via Wi-Fi on the Echolink app, and we just thought we would say hello to you, Jose, and everyone on net. And I just wondered if I could somehow get a list of the other nets that are hosted by Handy Hams out of Golden Valley, Minnesota. Other than that, not too much to report. And I also did have a question HF remote base QSL.
Yeah, QSL, copy. Go ahead with your question. Actually, let me tell you a little bit about the Handy Ham nets. We have daily nets at 11 and 7 p.m. Central. So 7 p.m., 1900 hours U.S. Central Time. But if you go to www.handyham.org /nets, you can see a list of all the nets and frequencies. That's HTTPS, my apologies, http://www.handyham.org/nets/nets, all lowercase, and you'll get a list of all the nets there. It's 11 o'clock in the morning every morning, Central Time, including Sundays. Sunday is a rag chew net, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Central. So go ahead with your question about the HF remote, and we'll see if we can answer it for you. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
I know this may seem kind of silly, but I wanted to confirm to utilize the HF remote, I'm assuming that you need full coded HF qualifications, although you're not controlling, you know, standalone HF equipment. I just wanted to verify that. QSL.
QSL. Wait. Would you repeat your question? I've got I had a knock on the door and got distracted there, so I really apologize there. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead. Go ahead with your question again. I truly apologize my distraction with the knock on the door. Go ahead.
No problem, no problem. I was distracted as well. I don't believe I gave you my name. It's Douglas, Delta Oscar Uniform Golf, Lima Alpha Sierra. And again, I am in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. I just wanted to confirm, to utilize the HF remote, I know this might sound kind of silly, but I just wanted to confirm that you do need full code HF designations to utilize that, so to speak, because the only reason I'm wondering is because I thought it might be a little bit different because I'm not controlling, you know, radio equipment, so to speak, but part of me still says you need HF, you know, qualifications. In my case, it would be through Industry Canada. If you could verify that control, please.
Okay. Are you referring to the remote base, the Handyham remote base? And I would have to. I think there's a way, and there are a couple of people here that are on the net tonight that are going to be able to answer that for you. I don't think I'll be able to answer it. But if you're referring to the remote base that Handyham hosts, come back to me and verify that. But yeah, there. I don't think you need HF privileges to transmit on the remote bases. There are frequencies that you can transmit on still if you're not at that level of license. But come back and let me know if it's about the remote base for Handyham, and then we'll see if somebody here can answer it for you. KK4JZX.
QSL, exactly. That's what I was looking for. And we also wanted to know, yes, what it is, where it is that we are allowed to transmit. So those are the exact questions we had tonight for the net.
Okay, Douglas, VA3. Okay, Douglas, my apologies. VA3, DGD, my PTT button got sort of mixed up here on my computer. But yeah, we'll confirm that for you. You're trying to figure out if transmitting to through the Handyham remote base from Canada, what are some of the limitations that you have, and if you need a full HF authorization for that. We'll see if somebody has an answer for that tonight. And I mean, transmitting. I know we have somebody from Brazil that is using the remote base, but he uses it for CW. So I don't know if what the other restrictions are. I think that somebody will have the answer for that tonight. And there's somebody here, K0PQW, and then WA0TDA, who might be listening that might be able to answer that question. But let me break with you here real quick, and then move on to Mike. And if you have another question, by the way, Douglas, feel free to come back in and ask. We'll try to get you an answer tonight. W7ALX, this is KK4JZX. What do you have for us tonight, Mike? Got a comment, a question, perhaps a suggestion for the TechNet? It's your turn.
Thank you, Jose. Good evening, the Handyham TechNet, KK4JZX, W7ALX here. First of all, Jose, I want to congratulate you and your team on the remote base client. I downloaded it 5 minutes before net time, so I haven't had a chance to play around with it. But sure looks good from just again after downloading it and the new software and going through it. Real briefly, it looks really good, so congratulations to you. As to the question from Douglas prior to you coming to me. I think you need privileges. It's dependent upon your license class, is what I do believe, to operate on the different bands. And I think, and I stand corrected. It's nice to hear Matt in there also. It's been a while since I've heard him. Anyway, I'm going to stay around and take a listen to the rest on the net. So back to you, Jose, KK4JZX and the Handy Ham TechNet, W7ALX.
Okay, Mike, W7ALX, thanks a lot for checking in tonight. Yeah, the Handy Ham remote base client, the hosting part of it, has provisions for license classes, so for all the way from technician all the way up to extra. So and the software actually does not allow transmission. It will not allow transmissions if you don't have the class, the license class, to transmit on the particular frequencies. So if you're a technician, for example, you're going to have some privileges to transmit as a technician, and I believe there are some frequencies that you can, if you look at the charts, you're going to find that there are some frequencies that you can transmit using as a technician in HF. So you want to check into that. And of course, as you move up in license class, then you have your other privileges, of course. Douglas, VA3, Delta Golf Delta, did you... I apologize, but VA3, yeah, Delta Golf Delta, did you hear that answer by Mike? This is KK4JZX. Okay, I think we lost Douglas there, but folks, we're taking check-ins tonight for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. If you've got a question or a suggestion, we're at the bottom of the list of check-ins right now. If you've got a question or an answer, perhaps, for what's been discussed tonight, go ahead, it's your turn on the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet.
KD0 Echo Tango Quebec.
Oh boy. KD0 PQW recheck.
All right, I'm going to take that recheck first. Phil, I've got two stations, KD0 ETQ and KA0 PQW. But I'll take the recheck from Matt. Matt, go ahead. It's your turn on the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, okay. Starting a brown hamburger here. But, I don't see why Douglas couldn't use it. It is a Handy Ham member service. So, I'll be a member of Handy Hams. But, like you pointed out, the guy from Brazil uses it. And, what's his name? Scott Gillen. Can't think of his call anymore from New Zealand. He's used it for years. He has an American call, too. But, I don't know, that'd be a question for Pat, actually, but I don't see why not. You know, they've got privileges and HF privileges, so I don't see why you couldn't. KA0PQW.
Okay, Matt, KA0PQW, KK4JZX here, and I'm going to call VA3, Delta Golf Delta, VA3, Delta Golf Delta. Did you copy... Matt's answer on your question regarding transmitting through the Handy Ham remote base. Go ahead. All right. And Matt, maybe later on you can jump in about the question that Joe had earlier about software. He's looking for software that can do digital modes for him. Maybe he can come back a little bit later and talk a little bit more about it. But let's move on to KD0ETQ. Phil, what's going on tonight, Phil? And... you have a question or a comment for the TechNet? Go ahead.
KD4JZX, KD0 Echo Tango Quebec. Yeah, I got in late. I was getting one of those limited or no connectivity things to the router, and I had to go in there and mess around with it for a while. And finally, I don't know. What I had to do is I actually had to take out my, password code, it's not got a password. It's a... can't think of what you call it now, but your the 10 digit thing you did. I had to remove it and put everything back in, and then it connected. For some reason, it didn't want to. It didn't want to pick it up. Maybe that's a question right there. Why would a router do that? Because I've had the same, passcode or whatever you want, same 10 digits, for quite a while. And today when I put it in, it didn't want to, it's for a long time, it didn't want to take it. And then when it did take it, it gave me the limited or no connectivity. And then it said, acquiring network address and kept spinning around in circles. It wouldn't connect, and then finally I deleted everything out of there, and started over in my D-Link router page, put everything back in, connected the first time, that's fine. So I have no idea what that was. That's why I come in late. So back over to you, KD0ETQ.
KD0ETQ, KK4JZX. Phil, I had a D-Link router before I purchased my current one. I have two routers now. I have a Netgear, and I have one of the Cisco ones, and I don't know, but when I started having that sort of problem with my D-Link, it meant that it was going out. But I'm not saying that yours is, but it started happening more often, and sometimes when your router is going bad, that happens. But also there could be a security breach, and when a router has a security breach, I've heard that and I've seen it because I worked with routers many years ago. A security breach causes a router to continually reset itself. And so, you just never know. All right, Phil, thanks for checking in tonight. And we'll keep your question on the table here. The question that Phil had is, why would a router lose the key, the passphrase? And by the way, Phil, let me come back to you real quick. I'm assuming that you're using Wi-Fi there, and that you're using something other than WEP encryption. Go ahead. This is KK4JZX.
Wi-Fi. What is that? I'm trying to think of the other one. Is WPA the other one?
There's WEP, WPA, and WPA2. The more secure one is WPA2. Go ahead.
Look into the router page, log into it, log in as admin and go in and look to see exactly what I have in there. I'm not positive. I was right there, and I looked, and I can't remember now.
Okay, Phil. WEP is the lowest security, and WEP has been known to be very breakable, and anybody that with a little bit of effort can get in with tools that have already been put together to break that encryption. So it's a little harder with WPA and WPA2, but WEP is something you want to stay away from. Phil, your final comment before we move forward. Go ahead. This is KK4JZX.
Let's look. WPA, Whiskey Papa Alpha.
Okay, Phil. Possible reasons, we'll see if somebody here has a suggestion or a comment about that. Moving on, folks. With the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet, we've got a couple of questions, a couple of comments on the table. One of them is from K9OPL, Joe, who is asking about digital modes, software that can do digital modes. And then we had another question earlier, which I'm going to bring up in the next couple of minutes. It's about transmitting over the Handy Ham remote basis. And the question was, is HF privilege required to transmit, given that membership has been established, of course, and that you are a Handy Ham member and have requested the Handy Ham remote base access from the proper parties at Handy Ham. Are there any requirements, HF requirements, to transmit through the station? And we discussed that a little bit, Douglas is in Canada, so he's trying to figure out transmitting on a station in the U.S., where would he be able to transmit to, and what are some of the requirements through the Handy Ham remote base? KK4JZX, taking check-ins now. Go ahead.
W5MPY.
Yep. MPY, this is KK4JZX. There was another station there that came in. I heard a carrier, but no voice. Let me try that second station, and then I'll come back to you, W5MPY. But that second station that came in, please repeat your call sign. Go ahead.
KA9OPL for recheck. I think there was somebody else, too.
Okay, I've got KA9OPL. That other station, go ahead.
W5MPY?
Yeah, I got you. I got W5MPY, and then I got KA9OPL with a recheck. But there was a third station. That third station, come back with your call sign. If not, I'll just go ahead and move on with the TechNet. This is KK4JZX. Okay, let me take the recheck first. KA9OPL, and then I'll come back to you, W5MPY. But Joe, KA9OPL, go ahead with your recheck. This is KK4JZX.
Okay, thanks, Jose. I just thought I'd throw my comment in on the question regarding the use of the remote base. As far as I know, the simplest answer to begin with is no matter how you're transmitting, you're licensed to transmit on whatever frequencies you're licensed for, so it doesn't matter where your transmitter is. As far as going across the borders of, you know, countries, I would suspect it has to do then with whatever the reciprocal agreements are, and I don't know what those are, but I think they're pretty, you know, liberal between the U.S. and Canada. But I think the initial question I thought he was asking was, do I have to be licensed for HF, or can I operate at HF just because, you know, I'm just using the remote base? Well, the answer to that would be no, you have to be licensed for it, or you can operate in the HF frequencies that you are licensed for. Because if you're a technician, like you said, there are some 10-meter frequencies. But basically the answer is, as far as I know, whatever your license privileges allow you is what you're allowed to do through the remote base, just the same as if you were transmitting from a radio in your own home. Yeah, I don't know if that helps or makes it more confusing, but anyway, back to you, KA9OPL.
K9OPL, KK4JZX, copy clearly. And no, you're not confusing the issue. It is very clear. And I'm sorry that I missed that part of it that Douglas had asked. Douglas is VA3 Delta Golf Delta. But you're right. No matter where you are, you're not given privileges to transmit on the handyham remote bases just because they're there, of course. You're going to have some sort of a license level. Starting at technician, of course. The minimum for handyham remote base is technician, and then general and extra. But if you don't have an FCC license to transmit, you really can't transmit. And then thanks for the comments on the reciprocal agreements and for the other items that you mentioned. Appreciate that. Let me call on VE3. Delta Golf Delta. Douglas, are you around? Do you copy? KK4JZX. Okay, I think Douglas has left us, and if he comes back, we'll give him that answer. W5MPY, it's your turn. Thanks for checking in tonight. Give me your call sign in phonetics, because I think I missed one letter there. It's either M or N, but give me your call in phonetics and your name and your comment or question for tonight. This is KK4JZX.
55, Mike Papa Yankee, Ron, Altus, Oklahoma. And for curiosity's sake, I went to the radio amateur website for that gives the licensing information for our friends in Canada. And on 160 meters through 12 meters, it says you need a basic and advanced operating privileges, or an amateur radio operator certificate. No, wait, where's it? Yeah, it needs an advanced operator certificate for 160 through 12 meters. Does that answer the question?
W5MPY, Ron, KK4JZX here. Yeah. We lost Douglas, but I think that answers part of the question that he had, which is the type of privilege required to transmit from another country, from Canada in this case, on a station that is remotely in the U.S. The other question he has was, where could he transmit to? And, you know, if you've got an answer for that, or anybody has an answer for that, feel free to jump in. But W5MPY, does that website say, are there any particular rules that say where a station like that could transmit to? That's quite an interesting question. KK4JZX, go ahead, Ron.
Actually, I think I could add to that. now that I think about it. K0PQW.
Okay, Matt, K0PQW, go ahead, and then we'll come back to Ron. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, one thing I happen to remember, because I remember when we had some Canadians down at the radio camp, they could transmit on HF fine, no problem. However, in Canada, they have some voice privileges that we don't have here. For an example, they can transmit down in the CW, in our 40-meter CW band on voice. Now, just because they're licensed to do that, cat, get out of here. Get out. Get. You stupid cat. Ah, sorry about that. Ah, she's talking stuff. They cannot, if you're running a U.S. station, you cannot transmit down there. So, that is important. So, not only could they not transmit out of their privileges, but there would be certain places where they have privileges. If you're running a U.S. station, you wouldn't be able to transmit, such as 40 meters and down below 14.150, they can transmit voice in Canada. But operating the remote base, they sure wouldn't want to go on the air below 14.150 with that American station. Go ahead, K0PQW.
Oh, that's really interesting, Matt. K0PQW, KK4JZX. So what you're saying is that a station using a remote base, a base from, let's say that's in the U.S., like the Handyham remote base, a station, the remote controller who would be in Canada, would not be able to transmit on frequencies that he had access to or privileges to transmit in Canada. Those frequencies would not be allowed in the frequencies would not be allowed in the U.S. Did I copy that correctly? Even though that person, that operator has privileges in his country, he wouldn't be able to operate all those privileges in the U.S. just because of the limitations here. I don't know if I got that correctly, Matt. Go ahead. This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. That's right. Now, on 80 meters, however, on 40, they're different. And on 20, they're different. Those I know are different. So that's correct. There are a few places where they would not be able to really operate due to the fact that in the U.S., it's not legal to run phone below 14.150, for an example. So that's something you have to be aware of. I better get back to cooking here. K0PQW.
Okay, Matt, thank you for the comments. Wow, learned something. You learn something every day, of course. The more you do this, the better you get at it. Thank you. W5MPY, did you copy that? And do you have any further comments about what's been discussed thus far? And thank you, Ron, for being patient and waiting for us to have that discussion there. Go ahead.
I agree with him. I believe it boils down to what the you abide by, since it's a reciprocal agreement. You have to abide by what the frequency allocations in the host country. And if what I'm looking at is under industry, what is it? Industry Canada. Oh, it's okay. Spectrum Management and Telecommunications Standards for the Operation of Radio Stations in the Amateur Radio Service. And yeah, you just have to abide by what's used in the host country.
Okay, Ron, thank you very much. W5MPY, KK4JZX here. And so what we're saying is that the reciprocal agreements say that you must abide by the host country's rules. So if you're operating the Handyham remote base from Canada, using the remote base client, then you would be transmitting from the U.S. So transmission from the U.S. would be limited to the the frequencies that are within the U.S. So, okay. I hope that I summarized that correctly, Ron. Go ahead and let me know, and we'll move on. This is KK4JZX.
That sounds about right. For the folks that are managing the remote base, you might want to think about putting something on the website there for users that are outside the U.S. and or something like that. Or I guess the best way to do that is go out to ARRL and ask them to give them to get a reading from them, and then post that on the remote base site for folks to read, so that there's everything is nice and clear. And I'll leave that at that, W5MPY.
All right, Ron, W5MPY. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. And we're moving forward, folks, with Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet, and a lot of discussion around privileges in transmitting using a remote base. And hopefully Douglas VE3 Delta Golf Delta is still listening to us. And if he is, then he got quite a bit of information. And Douglas, what you want to do is you want to check on the rules of the host country, so that when you're transmitting, you're not using the rules from your country, as they are overridden by the rules of the host country. So this is KK4JZX, Jose in Miami, for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet, taking check-ins at this time with any questions, suggestions, or perhaps comments on what's already been discussed. And go ahead, folks. This is the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet.
Kilo Zero for Foxtrot Bravo comment.
Echo Tango Quebec recheck.
First station was Kilo Zero, and then I got the Foxtrot Bravo, but did not get what was in the middle there. So go ahead and come back with your complete call sign, probably my fault here, and your name, and then we'll go ahead and continue. Go ahead.
KK4JZX, Kilo Zero, November, Foxtrot, Bravo, Scott, Des Moines, Iowa.
Wait a minute. I know that guy, K0NFB. Welcome to the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. I hadn't seen you on here before, but I know who you are. This is one of our beta team members, if I'm not mistaken. Scott, go ahead with your check-in, your comment for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Welcome. Definitely great to have you here. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Jose, and everyone on the net. Yes, Jose, you are correct. It is Scott from Des Moines, Iowa. Couple of comments. First of all, yes, I do believe that, I know Ron is absolutely correct as far as the privileges for the host country comes to get the access. The frequency privileges will be set up on the remote base side at the computer, to where they will only be able to transmit on what allows. In the U.S., whether it be technician, they'll only have, say, 10 meters as far as privileges. General, they'll only be able to broadcast or transmit in the general portion of the band, and extra, of course, will have access to all frequencies and all modes available. So when the remote base access is set up, Pat and or Lyle, K0LR, will actually set it up according to the privileges of the license holder. Now, how they would set that up, say, for a Canada station, that would be rather interesting, but I would assume then, based on the comments that we've already had, that it would be set up such that they would have, say, extra class privileges on the client side of the base when they set it up on the host side. So that kind of throws another little wrinkle into it, but a very important one. The reason they do that is to keep folks from transmitting outside the bands, which of course keeps everybody in FCC compliance. So With that, I will turn it back to you, Jose. KK4JZX in the net. This is K0NFB.
Okay, Scott, K0NFB, thanks for joining us tonight, and thanks for your commentary. You are correct. The privileges are set up at the host side of the HandyHam remote-based base computer. There's a configuration where each member gets a class, a license class designation. But I'm wondering what each class designation, as you have pointed out, is matches to in terms of between Canada and the U.S. So that's an interesting wrinkle, as you mentioned. And maybe Pat, WE0TDA, can jump in a little bit later on, talk a little bit about what, you know, some of the challenges are there. Because there are several people that are transmitting from outside the U.S. who have been already set up for their HandyHam remote base. Okay, Scott, I'm going to break with you and move on with KD0ETQ, who had a recheck. And Phil, you've got a recheck. Go ahead with your recheck. And your comment. This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, KK4JZX, Jose. KD0 Echo Tango Quebec. Yeah, this is all in line with that privileges and remote base. From what everybody's saying, it has to do with the country that the transmitter is located in and everything, which would have to almost, you know, would have to be true. Remotehams.com. And I have transmitting privileges for countries, including Canada. And before I really knew it, I was one day about a month ago. I was on one of the stations in Ontario, and there was a Canadian net, an Ontario net, going on like 3755, I believe, somewhere in that area. And as a general, in U.S. Frequencies, I have to be 3,800 or above, I believe it is. I have to be at 3,800 to 4,000. And I normally can't transmit in the 3750s. They can see who's on there. And they've seen, they either called me and say, hey, would you like to check into the net? And I said, well, I'm a general in the United States. I can't go below 3,800. And they said, well, but this transmitter is in Ontario. So they said, and you're using my transmitter. The transmitter belongs to a Canadian call. And he said, you can go ahead and transmit. So I checked into the net down in like 3750, which I'm not allowed to in the U.S., but in Canada, I was, because the station was in Canada, so I was allowed to transmit down 3750 using a Canadian-owned station and transmitter located in Canada. That's kind of what I wanted to say. K0ETQ, back to you, Jose.
All right, great. Phil, any comments from anybody else? Go ahead with your check-in and make your comments about this, because this is really a really interesting topic. But come in with your call and your call sign, and we'll take your comments. KK4JZX.
K9OPL, recheck.
K9OPL, go ahead with your comments.
Hey, Jose. The only concern I have about the last thing I think Phil had said, I believe that the only way legally you can do that in this country is you have to use both your call sign and the call sign of the station who owns the radio that you're transmitting on, and they have to be present. So, I don't know, you can get into all kind of hair splitting and stuff, but I think technically you're not supposed to do that. That's the same problem you get into when you do club stations and stuff like that. Like, you know, we've had this debate many times in my local ham radio club when we're getting ready for field day, because people say, well, you know, we can use somebody's call, and as long as, you know, it's an extra call, we can transmit there, and that part's true if the person is present. But again, you're using their call. When I'm using my call, so far as I know, I'm only allowed to transmit based on my privileges. So anyway, off my soapbox.
Okay. K9OPL, Joe. Yeah. Thank you for your comments. Any further check-ins and comments for this topic? The topic of transmitting over a remote base across borders, and for example, Canada, remote station, a remote client in Canada transmitting from a station in the U.S. or through a station in the U.S. Is the discussion that we're having right now. And what are some of the gotchas there? There are some differences in and what's been discussed already. And I think that I've read something about that when the remote base client was developed years ago in 2003. Stan used to ask people to transmit through his station using another call sign. And in addition to the call sign that was being used of the operator, so I don't know what that was back then, and perhaps somebody can jump in and make a comment about that. This is KK4JZX for the Henny Ham Radio Club TechNet. Go ahead with your check-ins.
D0ETQ recheck again.
WB6JTJ checking in with a question.
Got two stations, Phil, KD0ETQ, and then I've got WB6JTJ, and Phil, go ahead with your recheck.
Yeah, the last person to talk about that you had to use that call and the person had to be present, that was exactly true, because when I was just monitoring, I wasn't even going to try to transmit, I said, because, well, that's down to 3,700, so I'm not allowed to be down there, I'm a general, I got to, stop at 3,800. And he said, I told him, I said, I just have a general in the United States and you're on 3755. And he goes, well, that's okay. He goes, this is stationed in Canada. I'm present. And he was the owner of the remote. And he said, I'm present. And he goes, sign off. He goes, just use your call and that you're using my roommate, my remote, and use my call also when you sign on and sign off. So when I did, I signed off, with my call and the VE3 or whatever it was, that call, and he was present and monitoring the Q-cell, and I did use both calls. So that gentleman, back to you, Jose, KK4JZX, KD0ETQ.
Great, great, Phil, KD0ETQ, KK4JZX, great discussion. Let me turn it to W6JTJ before we continue the discussion on reciprocal operating and remote base operations, which is very interesting, by the way. But let me take W6JTJ with his question. Go ahead, W6JTJ, with your question for tonight, and we'll try to help you out. This is KK4JZX.
Okay, WB6JTJ here. I got the update for remote base, the software. Now, am I supposed to download the latest version of Skype, first download the software, install it? And what about the IRLP address or the whatever? What about firewall and all that other stuff? Over.
Okay, first, let me come back to me and tell me if your name is Michael. WB6JTJ. Give me your name. If I have it incorrectly, correct me, and I apologize. And then we'll continue with that discussion. Go ahead.
Okay, the name is Walter, but they used to call me Michael. So it's Walter Michael Hampton. You got that right. How did you know?
It sounded familiar. I spoke with you before. Yeah. I spoke with you before, and we spoke last week about your plasma TV issue as well. But you checked in with Walter last week. But Michael, it seemed to ring a bell. But Walter, what you want to do is you want to go out to www.handyham.org/remotebase, and there's a section on Skype. You click on that. And you don't need to worry about ports, because there's also an article that Pat just put together, and he put it up there yesterday, about and it's specifically what you're asking for. Do I need ports open to operate the remote base client? And no, you don't. And there's an article on that in the main page there, www.handyham.org/remote base. And then there's a section on Skype. You do need to have, you should have the latest version of Skype. Check that website for instructions on getting it all set up. And we just put up a set of instructions for non-sighted folks that can't see. Like myself, I don't have sight. And it tells you specifically how to set up the Skype. Does that help you, Walter? This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, I'm going to need help with that. Can I use a password like ham operator? Ham op? That's an easy one to remember for Skype. I download the remote. I download Skype first, install it, give the name and password. And what about the Skype scripts and for the remote base and all that? Because I'm going to need help.
Yeah, for that, go to the. You're going to find everything you need from the website, and that I gave you www.handyham.org/remote base. And you're going to find a tutorial there on how to get it all set up. And if you still, after going through that, you still have questions, then there's an email there that you can send your request to. I've been asked to make sure that I do that, that I provide that information. And through that email, somebody will answer and try to help you as much as possible. But most of what you're looking for and that you mentioned right now is on the page there. You're going to be able to get it all done with relative ease, okay? And if you have further questions, then you can go to the email address that's on the page and send your request in. Is that fair? This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, that's fair. And Pat sent me the latest software in a message. So, by the way, I'm an extra. So if you look up my call, you'll see it's an extra. I don't know where you'll look it up at, but I'm extra class, and I've never heard mainland China on the remote base, but what I'm wondering on the remote base, can you operate 10-meter FM, or is that forbidden?
Well, you can operate anywhere from 160 all the way down to, what was it, I have to look at the list, but 10 meter is included in there, I believe. Yeah, we'll have to double check that for you. But 10 meter is included, I believe, and it's 160. It is actually, that's on the website as well, I think. And if you go up there, it says exactly where you're allowed to transmit. And if you're an extra, you've got the privileges you need to transmit on those bands. But it's 160, 80, and all the way down. Yeah, 10 is included, I believe. I'll double check and try to get that answer for you as soon as I can there. KK4JZX. Go ahead, Walter, and then we'll move on.
Okay, step one, get into Skype. Step two, name and password. Step three, download the latest software of the remote base, do I need scripts for that? Am I right so far? And I'll let you move on. Where have I made my mistake?
No, Walter, WB6JTJ, you're doing fine so far. Keep reviewing what you've got there on the website, and you're doing okay so far. And make sure that you're all set up with the remote base at the host side with Pat. And you should be able to communicate and use it. If you've got any issues, then use that email address that's on the website. Any issues at all? Okay. Go ahead, Walter, and we'll move on. This is KK4JZX.
Keep everybody happy. I'm going to use the remote base instead of the radio. That way, I don't have to come over nobody's TV.
Yeah, I know you had that issue, and you mentioned it last week. There were a lot of suggestions. Your issue brought up a lot of discussion last week, and appreciate that you came in and brought up the question, and and that you came in this week and brought up the next question, which is important to the Handyham remote base. It's going to get better and easier to use as we move along here with development. But Walter, if you have another question, feel free to jump in at any time. And I'm going to break with you now and move on to any additional check-ins for tonight. This is KK4JZX, folks, in Miami, Jose. And if you've got a question or a comment tonight from the Handyham Radio Club TechNet, go ahead and check in with me, and we'll try to see if we can answer it. We've had a lot of discussion about transmitting using a remote base and privileges, and it's been quite an interesting night. This is KK4JZX taking your check-ins now. All right, folks, we've had quite an interesting TechNet tonight. We've been mostly talking about transmitting via a remote base from Canada or from any country using a remote base that's located in the United States. There's a lot of discussion on that topic. And it was brought up by Douglas, VE3 Delta Golf Delta. And I wonder if Douglas is around, VE3 Delta Golf Delta. Do you copy? This is KK4JZX.
No, the KZ3TQ. He disappeared off the list about a half hour ago.
Okay, Phil. Thank you very much. We're about a quarter after the hour. Folks, we're taking check-ins tonight for the Handyham Radio Club TechNet. This is Jose down in Miami, Florida, with some great weather. And very happy to be part of this TechNet. And it's definitely a privilege to be part of something that is making such a difference. And I am very happy that Handyham has allowed us to do this and is allowing us to do this every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central, folks. Go ahead with your check-ins, with questions, suggestions, comments, anything you can think of that has to do with technology. We're taking it. And if you do have a question, bring it up, and we'll try to answer it. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
W5MPY, recheck.
Ron, W5MPY, go ahead with the recheck.
Request a direct to Pat for a quick comment.
You got it. Go ahead and go direct. This is KK4JZX.
And the little flyers, those are going to go to the Elk City Ham Fest on Saturday, and I'm going to spread the word. W5MPY.
Okay, well, it's very nice to hear that you're going to the Ham Fest. Ham Fest is always fun. And the danger, of course, of in going to a Ham Fest is that you'll come back with some more stuff that you might have to sneak into the Ham Shack. WA0TDA.
Well, that's what we plan on doing, W5MPY. We got to have our day out of the house. But I'm getting cabin fever down here. Okay, have a good day, and thank you for that, W5MPY.
Thank you very much, Ron, W5MPY, and Pat, for checking in, WA0TDA. And Pat, there's been quite a bit of discussion about transmitting from another country through a remote base, and wondering if you had any comments about that. And then we're gonna move on with additional check-ins for tonight. And if we don't get any more check-ins, then we'll close the net. But if you've got a comment, Pat, about what's been discussed, go ahead. This is KK4JZX.
Hey, Jose, very good. Yes, it has been a good net. I've been listening along here. And my comment on the transmission from Canada would be that there's information about reciprocal operation by Canadian stations. It is on the remote base website. It's under the help menu, so that's always good to look at. And if you go to our friends at Radio Amateurs of Canada, that's RAC, Radio Amateurs of Canada, they have information on their website about reciprocal operating as well. And if there's a reciprocal operating agreement, of course, you can travel to the other country and bring your ham radio license with you, and you can operate in that country. But you have to follow their rules, and you have to operate according to your privileges. So those things are can be found on the net. Let me take a break here. And, the other thing I was going to comment on is a lot of information can be found on the website, and using the website, there'll be information on how to set things up, and we're always adding more stuff on that. There are other remote base websites out there too, and certainly Google is your friend to find out things about remote base operation and about the different kinds of radios. So I urge people to do that and take a look there. I think it's RTM, read the manual, and there's another letter in that phrase too, but I won't say that one. WA0TDA.
All right, read that friendly manual, and you know what they say, read the friendly manual, that's interesting. Thank you, Pat, for checking in and for your comments. WA0TDA, this is KK4JZX, and appreciate that, and thank you. Folks, we're getting pretty close to end of net time, and we're taking any last-minute check-ins. If you've got a question or a comment, this is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
Kilo Charlie 9, Victor Alpha November.
What's the latest version of Skype? WB6JTJ. And do I need Skype scripts for the remote base? Over.
Sounds like we've got Kevin, KC9VAN, and then we've got Walter with a recheck, WB6JTJ. And, the latest version of Skype, Walter, you're probably going to want to go to Skype.com and check out what they have there, because I don't know exactly what the latest version revision number is. It's 5.1 dot something, but I don't remember now. But no, you don't need scripts for Skype. And I'm going to turn it over to Kevin, KC9, Victor Alpha November. How's it going tonight, Kevin? Got a comment for the net? This is KK4JZX.
Good evening, Jose and the rest of the net. My question is who is the remote base open to use for people to use? Because I'd be kind of interested in how Linux friendly it is. Is it? Because for better or for worse, Linux is my OS of choice right now. So just curious on that front for using your for the remote base.
KC9VAN, KK4JZX. I can tell you that the remote base is available free for use for receive only for non-members. But if you want to use the base for transmission, then you have to be a HandyHam member, and you can get go out to the website and request access if you are a HandyHam member. If you're not, just go out to www.handyham.org and find out how to become a member of HandyHam. And your second question was Linux. The remote base client has been tested under Windows, but has not been. We're not sure if it'll work under Linux Wine. I think is what it's called. You would have to be running something like Wine, but that has not been tested under that. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead, Kevin, with your comment. KK4JZX again.
Okay, I'm not a member, so I guess I'm going to have to just do remote only. Although you were correct about Wine, and that'd be interesting. I'd be at least willing to give it a try for the Wine part, for at least the receive. So I've had fairly decent results with Wine, not perfect results, but hey, when you're in Linux, usually you get kind of used to that. So thanks for answering the questions, and with that, I think I'm going to bow out. You got my questions answered, so I'll just look online and take it from there and see how things go. KC9VAN, back to net control, and thank you, Jose.
KC9VAN, thanks for checking in, and appreciate that. Come back, because there's always something cool to talk about here on the TechNet. Last week was a very interesting week TechNet, and this week is no different. It's been very, very, very exciting. So thank you for checking in, and Walter, I hope I answered your question about the Skype. Go ahead and visit the website and check out what the latest version is, and you don't need Skype scripts. And folks, before we close for tonight, are there any final check-ins for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. This is Jose in Miami, Florida. Go ahead.
N3AIM, Joe in Pennsylvania.
W7ALX with a recheck.
If it isn't Joe, N3AIN. And Joe, I'm going to come back to you, but I want to take the recheck by Mike, W7ALX. Go ahead with your recheck, Mike.
This is W7ALX. Thanks for letting me jump in there, Joe. Jose, I have a question for you that's dealing with programming with AirMail. So if I could get your either your email or if you're available on Skype, we could discuss it at the internet or whenever it's convenient for you. Back to you there, Jose, and then at KK4JZX W7ALX.
Mike, W7ALX, KK4JZX at gmail.com. This is KK4JZX for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. And if you want to get a hold of me, Mike, you can email me at KK4JZX at gmail.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at KK4JZX. But, Mike, did you copy that email? This is go ahead, KK4JZX.
W7ALX. Yeah, roger that. I copied that. Okay, I will do that, then I'll follow you on Twitter, too. If you'd like to follow me, it's Mike TFM, which stands for the Fishing Musician. So it's M-I-K-E, or at M-I-K-E-T-F-M. Okay, back to Net. W7ALX, Depot Bay, Oregon.
Okay, Mike. We'll definitely follow you at Mike TFM, Tango Foxtrot Mike. I hope I got that right. And I'm going to turn it over to Joe. And I have a smile in my face because I know that Joe always checks in. Joe, you're unbelievable. I like it when you check in because it's at the very end and you bring up some very good questions and topics. So it always makes for a makes a good TechNet a great TechNet. So thank you for checking in and thank you for being here every Thursday. And thank you for being part of the beta team, by the way. Joe, N3AIN, is part of our remote-based beta team, and he's already making an impact, and we appreciate that. We appreciate it from everybody that's joined us. Go ahead, Joe, N3AIN. This is KK4JZX.
Okay, Jose, KK4JZX, N3AIN. And I know it looks like I deliberately check in late every week, but I really don't. I'd like to have been earlier, but I was installing a new modem tonight and configuring a new modem, and I got a little carried away with it. I got things right, and then I screwed it up, and I had to redo it all over again. And then I had a late supper, so it makes it look like, I know it looks like I listened to the net and then check in at the end. I didn't even hear it tonight. So I just came on here for, you know, just 5 minutes ago. So I'm sorry about that, but I'm glad I got in here before you're done. I have got, I guess, three things. Number one, is it necessary to uninstall all these beta, the beta software for W4MQ before I put in the new ready for prime time version now, or not? I guess we're done with that last beta anyway, right? I mean, should I take it out or not? And number two, in installing my modem Wi-Fi tonight, I set it up for WPA2. What did I set it up for? WPA2 PSK, I think. I wonder know, is that the highest security on the as far as Wi-Fi goes? It's a D-Link modem router combination, modem and router wireless. I want to know if WPA2 is the highest security, or if not, what is? And the last thing, I have a quick JAWS tip for those using JAWS 13 anyway. if you're using the remote base, I know eventually we're going to have a situation that I think Jose is going to configure the software to shut Jaws' speech off when we're listening to the remote base, but I'm not sure. But if he doesn't, or even until he does, I can tell you a quick way to shut Jaws up if you don't want to hear it when you're arrowing up and down to change frequency with the remote base. At least for Jaws 13, this works. If you hit the Alt space bar, you'll hear a click, and then you type the letter S as in Sam Sierra, and that will shut Jaws' speech off. And then when you want to get it back again, you just do the same thing over. And you can at least shut Jaws off and not have that annoying chatter while you're listening to the other stuff going on from the 480. That's all I have. This is N3AIN. Back to Net. And now you can close. Jose, we're done.
Oh, N3AIN, Joe. You're not... it doesn't appear that you're coming in at the end. I know you're doing things and busy and all that, so... It's always good. I always know that you're going to come in at some point toward the end of the net, and that it always makes for a great closing. To uninstall the betas, I would suggest doing it because that way you get clean uninstall, because there are shortcuts that get added to the desktop and to the start menu, so you do want to clean that up because any new versions are going to be either the same version or higher than the current betas. In terms of router security, you've got WEP, and then you've got WPA, and then there's WPA2. So you are at the top, the best security that you can get with routers right now, home routers at least. WPA2 is the highest you can get. And then on the JAWS tip, thanks for that. We'll try to be great to write something up about that. And so that we can put it up on the website. So I'll do that and try to get it to Pat so we can put it up on the website. That's a good tip. We'll definitely put it up. And check out the Dropbox. There's something. Check out your email. There's something new that I want you to check out. Did I answer everything and cover everything there, Joe? This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
Yep, that's it. Thank you. This is KK4JZX, and thanks for the surprise in the email. I don't know what it is yet, or in Dropbox, but I'll check it out. Thank you. This is N3AIN. Back to Net and 73.
All right, and are there any further questions for tonight, folks? This is KK4JZX. Come back with your check-ins for final comments, suggestions, tips, and we'll go ahead and close the net for tonight. Go ahead.
WPY comment.
Was that W5MPY, Ron? I think I copied you correctly. Go ahead.
The gentleman was asking about whether or not remote base would run under Linux. Just for curiosity, I went over to Remote Hams and checked out the remote client over there, and it apparently also does not run under Linux. Or at least why is that under native Linux, and it doesn't say that it does. Just thought I'd throw that out just for grins and giggles. W5MPY.
Okay, Ron, W5MPY, thank you very much for that comment. And, that was KC9VAN, which is Kevin, who asked that question earlier. And it would be nice to try it out under Linux Wine to see if something works. But, all right, folks, KK4JZX here, Jose from Miami, Florida, for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet, and we're about to close the net, but we're taking in any final check-ins, any final comments for the net tonight, and before we close. We don't like to close without final comments, so go ahead.
K0ETQ, recheck for about the third time.
Okay, it sounds like somebody was coming in. It was KD0ETQ, but I'm going to give that second station an opportunity, because I think that second station is on an iPhone, and it's very difficult sometimes to key up on an iPhone. So I'm going to give it about 10 seconds before I come back. So that second station that's on the iPhone, go ahead and come back, and I'll give you at least 10 or 15 seconds. So, folks, I'm not gonna go quiet here. I'm just going to give that station about 10 or 15 seconds. Go ahead.
K0NFB with recheck.
Okay, before the two rechecks, I've got KD0ETQ and K0NFB, and that third station that was trying to come in, I think it was either an iPhone or an iPad, but it sounded like voiceover. KK4JZX, I'm going to give you about 10 seconds. This is KK4JZX. Okay, I'll take KD0ETQ, Phil, with your recheck. Don't worry about the 3, 4, whatever, however many rechecks we need to do. No problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I was at KK4JZX, KD0ETQ. Oh, okay. First, also, the K0NFB, he is on an iPhone. I see here on the list it says iPhone user, so it may have been him that you heard in there, because he is an iPhone on the list here. One thing I was saying, Kevin, KC9VAN, he was talking, I think he was the one who was just talking about just using remote base just to receive. I know it wouldn't be as good, but if just to receive only, you can listen and change frequencies by going to W0EQO, you know, the minus L, and the W0ZSW minus L there, you know, the link. And I believe I've gone there before I got on the remote base, and you can listen and change frequencies, you know, do all the listening you want. Now, if it's something you need to visual thing within, but I believe it actually does read out the frequencies too. But yeah, I was going to say you can do that on Echolink on the two links there if you're doing receive only. But maybe he just wants to just go through the new software. And I want to ask you, what is exact? I know I haven't got in there the last 2 days. And look, what is the very newest version in the Dropbox that I should be? You know, when I'm doing the newest remote base, what is the very newest one I should be doing? Because I have to go into Dropbox. I know stuff's in there. I haven't messed around with. You can tell me what the very newest version is also. So, okay, back over to you. KK4JZX, KZ0ETQ.
Okay, Phil. The latest version is 6.2.0.200. And you can get it, too, from www.handyham.org/remotebase. It's right there under the downloads. Probably easier to get to if you'd like to get it right away. And it's 6.2.0.200. Okay. And I'm gonna move on to K0NFB. I thought I heard voice over there. Go ahead, Scott. This is KK4JZX.
Well, thanks, Jose. Yes, I am on an iPhone. Anyway, for those folks who haven't checked it out yet, just wanted to let people know that one of the exciting things with the latest build of the remote base client, version 6.2, is 200 watts on W0ZSW on 80 meters, 40 meters, and 160 meters. I've had a chance to use it on 160, actually, my first time on 160 on Sunday, and absolutely loved it. So 200 watts is finally possible with the remote base client. So that's basically it for my comments. KK4JZX and the net, K0NFB.
All right, K0NFB, Scott, KK4JZX. Thanks for reminding folks about that, because, yeah, that was a major thing with remote base on 6.2. And, 200 watts on some of the bands. That's amazing. We've been looking to do that for months now, and finally made it a reality, and it is working. Make your way to the website, folks. You're going to find a lot of neat things that have been added, a lot of stuff that has been fixed. And, folks, we're going to be closing the net soon, and, again, taking final check-ins. Go ahead.
WB6JTJ, what's your address so I can email you?
The email address is kk4jzx@gmail.com. Walter, thanks a lot. Go ahead with your final comment, and we'll take any final check-ins and close the net for tonight.
And your name is J-O-S-E, and what's your last name? Because they always ask first name, last name, and all that, or can I just use your first name in the address book?
You can use my first name as well, but if you look it up on ARRL.org, you'll find my complete name there. It's Tamayo, T-A-M-A-Y-O, and that's pretty much, so you've got that. And, okay, go ahead, Walter, and then we'll continue here.
And if you don't have mine, it's walterhampton49@gmail.com. And I will go to that hand-to-hand remote / remote base or whatever, and I hope I can find the old stuff and get rid of it when installing the updated new version. Hope I can find that.
Okay, Walter, WB6JTJ, KK4JZX. Good luck with that. And you'll find it. It's pretty much you'll find it. It's pretty easy to find. All right, folks, we're about to close the net, and it's been a great tech net as always. And thanks to everyone who checked in tonight. We are very fortunate again to be able to do this every Thursday night. I want to thank Handy Ham and Pat Tice for allowing us to do this every Thursday and to talk about technology. And I want to thank the operators, the repeater owners, for allowing us to use the repeaters to do this every Thursday night. Definitely appreciate that. If you've got questions or comments, you can always go to www.handyham.org and visit the website and click on Nets, and you'll see all the schedules for all the nets that Handy Ham has. And we do have a regular recorded TechNet that goes out every week. And if you want to download archives, you can do that at the Handy Ham website. So, folks, this is KK4JZX, Jose from Miami, Florida, about to close the net. And I want to thank you all for checking in tonight. Feel free to come back on next Thursday so we can continue the discussion. So with that said, I want to thank everyone that joined us, and I want to say a 73 to all. KK4JZX.